I think the most important takeaway is you have to really be thoughtful and intentional about your onboarding sequencing and motions to not overwhelm your customers, especially SMBs. Because if you try to do too much, they'll just throw up their hands and not adopt.
Welcome to the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, powered by Gusto. On this show, we explore the intersection of fintech, vertical SaaS, and how software combats the rising complexity of running a business. Our goal is to share stories, advice, and best practices from the leaders and investors behind today's cutting-edge platforms. This episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast is brought to you by Gusto Embedded. Gusto has spent a decade building and testing its payroll, tax filing, and compliance infrastructure, which is available as a robust set of APIs so you can develop custom-tailored payroll solutions. For more information, go to embedded.gusto.com. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
On this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, my guest is Rani Gurian, COO of Clio, the world's leading provider of cloud-based legal technology. Rani, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thanks, Brian.
I'm excited to dive right in, but first, you have a very extensive background for marketplace, e-commerce, SaaS companies. So give us the quick version of your background and the journey that led you to the COO role with Clio.
Yeah, it's a bit of a random journey, I guess, like most careers. You never really know where it's going to go. But early on, I was in management consulting and investment banking. And then back in like 1996, I met my wife, who was very early at AOL. And I was working in all these hospitals. And I just thought her job was way cooler than mine. And I needed to figure out how to make a transition into technology. I thought this internet thing was going to be pretty big early on. I had no experience in technology. I went back to business school at Berkeley back in the first internet.com boom, and then very quickly the bust that happened during my time there. So it was a very good experience. But I ended up making a transition into tech, and I worked for a lot of consumer internet companies, marketplaces like Expedia, Uber, Airbnb. But I was typically always on the B2B side of those organizations, helping those consumer businesses and those marketplaces build out really interesting but less well-known B2B arms of their division. So I ran Uber for Business, for instance. I helped start and scale the Orbis Partner Network. And so I got more and more interested in the B2B side of things, and then ultimately made a transition over to Clio, where I was really attracted to the leading position and just the mission that Clio was on. So got to know the team here and ultimately joined as COO over 3 years ago.
I got to say, in spite of some ups and downs, I think you hit the nail on the head that this internet thing did turn out to do pretty well. And I've got to say, just on a personal note, hey, go Bears. We share that Berkeley connection. So Rani, excited to dive in, and especially to some of the differences with Clio, the mission, the vertical SaaS side of things versus some of your past experience. But to anchor the audience, for those who may not be familiar, give us the brief overview of who Clio is, and especially how you see the platform as different from other folks competing in the marketplace.
Yeah, so Clio has been around for about 16 years, and we're based out of Vancouver, Canada. And it was really started to help solo lawyers, which the legal industry is quite interesting in that it's really a micro SMB market. Majority of lawyers work for themselves or in very small practices in the US. And only about 10 or 15% of lawyers work for firms that are over multiple hundreds of people. It's a large industry, but it's comprised of really many tiny businesses. And so it makes it very hard to go after as you know, from your SMB experience, how do you aggregate and scale and build a viable, thriving business when your customer base is so small? But at our core, what we offer is really the main operating system that a law firm will use to run most of the aspects of their practice, from intake all the way through getting paid. So whether it's intake and CRM, how do they actually manage the cases, communicate with their clients, track their time, invoice and bill, and ultimately get paid. So it's the nerve center of a law firm. And so there's a tremendous amount of functionality we provide, and we're always adding to that. And where we're going is we are moving quickly from what I just described, which is how does a law firm run itself, to also how do we now help lawyers practice law more effectively using all the data we have in AI. So we're getting into what is known in the industry as the practice of law. How do we help lawyers draft documents more intelligently, figure out how to analyze various cases more effectively? And so it's very exciting to move from more the business side where we've had our origin to now also getting into helping lawyers more effectively conduct their jobs and be more effective lawyers.
Well, there is some exciting pieces there, and I want to dig in. We may actually come back to the business model and some of the acquisition questions, because as you said, it can be hard to grow and sustain a thriving business when you have very small customers. But first, we have to say congratulations. You all recently raised a very large Series F round. So again, congratulations. I'm curious, though, in your eyes, does anything change now that post that raise?
Thank you for that. Yeah, it was exciting. It was the largest VC raise in Canadian history and one of the largest in SaaS over the last couple of years. It was primarily a secondary offering. So the number was $900 million for our Series F. It was a great accomplishment for the team. But it doesn't really change anything other than just expectations keep getting higher. But I think it was more a recognition of the business that we built and the journey we've been on. The investors we had a great reception from a lot of the investors. And so I think it was a validation of the opportunity that we see here at Clio and the success that we've been able to achieve. And obviously now it's just, thank you. How do you go higher? How do you go faster? But that's what makes it fun when you're in a high growth company, the expectations and the opportunity we have to go execute against that.
Yeah. I'm really curious to dig in. You said something really interesting. We've gone from being the nerve center. Other folks use the term control point, but being an incredible and really powerful operational solution to, I think you termed it as helping lawyers with the practices of law. But really, where does a vertical software platform switch from an operational solution to now, especially in the world of AI, helping folks do their job better? But I want to start with the foundation. So trends, what you've seen, what's different about working in a vertical software company versus a horizontal software company? And maybe the question is, what's unique? If you look at the long arc of your career, what is unique about working with Clio and the operations, the go-to-market of a vertical software company versus, say, Uber for Business or Expedia, more of these horizontal platforms?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've had the fortune of working at a lot of different companies, and what's always fascinating me is just how different each company is. Even if they're servicing, in some cases, the same industry, the way they approach things and what their strengths are, and you get in there and the culture and the focus is so different. And that's certainly been the case here at Clio. If I think back to my most recent role where I was heading up Uber for Business, there we had an opportunity, but also a challenge that every single company in the world or organization in the world was a viable potential customer. Because you think about transportation and food, human needs, really, every organization has them to varying degrees. So there it was, okay, the whole world is basically a potential customer. You have limited resources. Where do you really put your time and effort? And how do you figure out how not to say no to certain customers, but the right go-to-market motion for high ICP customers versus low ICP customers? And what's that balance? And in vertical SaaS, it's the exact opposite problem. A lot of people underestimate historically the market opportunity and the size of businesses that can be built in vertical SaaS. A lot of the early investors that Jack, our founder, talked to before I was here in the early days, loved the product, but just were like, hey, how big of a business can this really be? I think they had similar feedback for other vertical SaaS markets. But what I think has become evident over the last 5 or 10 years is if you execute well, if you develop that control point, if you really service the customers and you really understand their needs, more and more of that target market will flock to the vertical SaaS solutions because it's just meeting their needs in a more bespoke and high value way. And then if you do that, you have an opportunity to add all sorts of products and services on top of it. And that's the journey that we're on right now, is we've established this control point. We're by far the leading legal practice management solution in our historical core product, which we call Clio Manage. And we're now rapidly expanding our product portfolio to go back to those customers who we've developed a lot of trust with, who we are providing really great purpose-built solutions for. and saying, how else can we layer on additional products and services that are going to integrate with our platform and make their jobs easier? And a lot of SMBs, they don't want 5, 10, 15 different SaaS or point solutions, right? They want it simple. They want to consolidate their vendors and their tools into one as long as it meets their needs. And payroll is a great example where when we think about what types of products make sense to add on top of manage, we want to make sure it's not just slapping other things on it, but that we really use the data and use our core platform and think about how can we create a more purpose-built add-on product that simplifies and streamlines their operations and compensation. And in the legal industry, for instance, is quite unique and complex. They typically bill in 6-minute increments, the billable hour. There's revenue sharing and referral arrangements. There's different commission splits between the partner who sourced it and the partner and the people who work on it. And so there's a lot of complexity that our system houses. And we don't have a payroll product today, but for instance, if we did, we would combine the uniqueness of what our platform has with a payroll offering and build something that is really step function improvement in terms of efficiency gains for the law firm. So that's how we think about vertical SaaS in terms of adding additional products beyond our core origin.
And I want to dig into there just a little bit. I haven't forgotten some of the data, the AI, and some of the acquisition challenges. But you started that by talking about the TAM and kind of the investor perspective. And I do think that was feedback a lot of vertical SaaS companies got, say, 5 years ago. And a lot of the way that I think vertical SaaS companies, especially earlier stage than where Clio is at, have addressed it is by saying, we are going to build all these embedded fintech products, and that will increase our addressable market by just increasing the ACV opportunity. So you're on that journey, you mentioned, already have some billing and I think some payment processing products. So you talked a little bit about where you can customize the experience for folks. Maybe how do you think, maybe the more general question is, where do you draw a line between when you want to build something and actually bring it in as a Clio product versus, hey, let's just integrate and partner on something like this?
Yeah, we launched Clio Payments about 3 years ago. That's been a really resounding success, and a lot of our clients really get a lot of value out of that. So that's been a great example. And when we think about building versus partnering, we are founder-backed, engineering-led, and so we do have a bias towards building whenever it makes sense, but we're also not foolish to think we can build everything, and there are great partners who are experts in their area. So wherever we can partner with best-in-breed providers, we'll certainly look to do that, but we will not just bolt on a solution, which is the point I was trying to make a couple minutes ago. Payroll, like just adding on, for instance, a payroll solution that is not also modified or enhanced with the capabilities and the access to the data that we have to make our lawyers and our law firms' jobs easier. To us, that's not consistent with like our product vision of how we want to service our customers. So we'll say, okay, we can have a partner to maybe provide the core foundations of an offering, for instance, like payroll, but we have all of the data and all of the access to for every matter, for every case that a law firm is doing down to, because they track time, for instance, and they bill in our platform. So how do we combine that, our access to certain data with a partner to create the combination, something that is currently not really being serviced in the industry well, and hence combine our capabilities with the partner. And that's how we think about when we partner, is how do we partner, but then how do we add on to it to make it something that be specific to the needs of lawyers in the right way.
Well, and I imagine it'd be hard to find a good bolt-on product that would get down to those 6-minute increments. I knew about billable hours for lawyers, but I had no idea it got quite that granular.
Yeah, and it's also a trend where a lot of lawyers are now moving into billing by the project or by the work product, because a lot of people don't like the billable hour. There's surprises when you engage with a lawyer and they say it's X hundreds of dollars per hour. You're just, okay, I'm not surprised with the big bill. So that combined with the growing trend with AI is changing the nature of how lawyers are oftentimes providing work product, where things that used to maybe take a certain number of hours, they're able to streamline because of the efficiency they can gain. But so how do they price their product? Maybe not by the hour, but not go the other direction, which is if they say, hey, it's down to the billable minute and AI has allowed you to be much more efficient. Now my income is going to go down too much. So they're moving into more of a flat model or a project-based model. And so you need to accommodate all sorts of different billing permutations to manage the platform.
Fascinating. I'm going to put a pin in the AI piece one more time because I want to come back to customer acquisition. And I'm very curious if you've seen or have any sort of wrapped up lessons that you feel like you've learned first for just acquiring a lot of, again, very small customers and making that feel profitable. But then two, as you think about, say, the billing and invoicing products, I'm curious if your approach is more, hey, folks are adopting a broader set of solutions when they sign up with Clio, or if it's more a land and expand, you have a wedge, and then folks are growing into some of the additional product functionality.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that question, and we talked to a lot of other SaaS companies and trying to figure out the best approach on that whole, especially as you go from maybe one or two products to 10 or 15 products, like a lot of other vertical SaaS companies that are at that next level of scale, kind of public companies are. How do they think about that? And what's interesting is you'll talk to one leader who does it. Hey, we only sell the platform. And then we don't try to complicate things, because when you're selling a system of record, it's actually, even though it's an SMB sale, it's a pretty complicated deployment. And if you think about it, if let's say you and I are running a small law firm and we're going to choose a solution like Clio or one of our competitors, we're basically moving the entire operations of the business and our livelihood, the way we service our customers. So it's not a point solution that you can trial and see if it works. You're not making a full-on bet that this is going to be something you're going to move to. So there's a lot of careful decisions around that deployment. And so some people will say, hey, given that nature, we're just going to focus on the core platform. We're not going to monkey around with the five, six, seven other products that we want to sell. And other people have taken the approach, the exact opposite, which is, hey, we've got the whole bag of X number of products. We're going to try to land as many as we can in the initial sale. And then we just have to be very careful and thoughtful about the onboarding journey to make sure we're taking time to value and we're sequencing things in the right way. We're in that latter camp right now. We have about five or six products today, so it's manageable. As we continue to scale, we'll have to constantly evaluate that decision as to what do you land with versus what do you view as expansion opportunities down the road. But whatever we land with, we then have a whole set of motions, obviously, to go back to the base over time and continue to promote those products.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is whatever side of this coin you fall on, you probably want a motion, even if you have a preference, you want a motion to cover the other side, just to give customers choice.
Totally. And regardless of how you do it, I think the most important takeaway is you have to really be thoughtful and intentional about your onboarding sequencing and motions to not overwhelm your customers, especially SMBs. Because if you try to do too much, they'll just throw up their hands and not adopt.
I'm curious if you all look at sort of the turnover of businesses in your space. So I'm thinking about a Toast right now who my take from the outside is they are also more on the, hey, we are going to sell sort of a broader solution up front. But I think that's in part because there's relatively high turnover of restaurants. They have a lot of restaurateurs who are starting a new restaurant, but the whole package. And then again, I haven't worked with Toast. This is my take from the outside. I'm curious if that idea of turnover actually factors into where you think Clio has fallen on this as well.
Yeah, we're lucky because law firms are more steady. So back in like 2001, when everything in technology was just going through the roof, we were doing really well, but not as astronomically well as companies that were selling into other startups and other tech companies. But then when the market took a turn the other direction, we had just continued on our path. So we're, I think, pretty fortunate to be in an end market that has a lot of good characteristics. And I think that's a really critical thing to think about if you're looking to join or start a vertical SaaS company. I was talking to an investor just last night, and he was describing a business that was really interesting, but just had immense churn issues due to the nature of the end market. And I think legal is pretty fortunate. And I think that's why a lot of investors have gotten pretty excited about legal tech, as they see that it's a very stable market. And so for us, churn, of course, we're always looking to bring it down, and we've been never satisfied. But I think we, combination of the industry that we serve, as well as the nature of the product, allows us to have quite low churn. And that allows us to invest a lot in our go-to-market in ways that other people servicing similar size customers might not be able to, because we know that maybe we have to spend a little more to acquire that customer. But once they're on a platform like Clio or even one of our competitors, they are likely to stay for 10, 15 years. So if we don't get them now and they go to a competitor, we know that it could be a very long time before they reshop the market. And so that's an interesting dynamic for us to think through from a go-to-market strategy perspective.
And similarly, with 16 years of history, you have a lot of data to back that up. I can imagine somebody who's looking for their A or B round, that investor you mentioned, it's probably harder to know upfront if customers will be that sticky or not. Ronnie, let's take that pin out of the AI topic and dive in a little bit deeper there. Now, you all have several products in the market. At least one is called Clio Duo. So first, tell us a little bit more about what that product is. But then I think the main question here, back to trends in vertical SaaS, is do you believe that a vertical SaaS company can establish that data moat or that core proprietary data that actually will drive AI? Or is it really more about, hey, taking some of the large language models in this new technology and just saving users time, making things a little bit more efficient in the operations of the business?
I think it's both. And I think vertical SaaS is actually ideally positioned to service end customers, because I think a true system of record that is the operating system for an industry, or at least a subset of that industry, has access to data and insights that few, if any, other types of technologies will have. We have millions of hours of recorded time by matter, by practice area, by type of case, and millions of documents that are stored on our platform. And just there's so much unique kind of proprietary data that our platform is used to house. And so how do we use that in a way that obviously maintains all the confidentiality and barriers necessary with such high trust data, but can be used in anonymized manners and other mechanisms to really serve our customers in ways they can. And I think that'll help them on the efficiency front, and even how to price and how to benchmark and how to be more efficient, as well as in the practice of law. When you think about how do you draft documents, how do you give people tips, new earlier lawyers or paralegals that are very much in the apprentice model in the old days, where you spend thousands of hours a year underneath more senior and more senior lawyers getting that coaching. But AI can really enhance that in ways that have never been possible before. So we're launching a product called Clio Duo, which we're really excited about. It's going to have a robust set of functionality across both those aspects of what we're discussing, and we'll continue to be adding to it very rapidly. But we see that as a layer across our product portfolio that'll help all the way from CRM to business of law to moving into helping lawyers be more effective. And so we think it's a foundational aspect of our go-forward product suite.
And how does that show up to the user? Is Duo, say, a chatbot, like a persona across the platform that is helpful in different ways? Or is it more, hey, we have layered on Clio Duo, but you're just going to see an option, say, hey, here's a draft of a document that you might have otherwise had to write from scratch, or looking at a past template, but it's not, is it a branded sort of persona-based thing that shows up for users, or is it a little bit more just an overlay, if you will?
It'll be a product that folks will opt into, and they'll pay like an additional fee for, and then it'll be through the platform in a number of ways in a chatbot format, but also in other ways where it contextually relevant ways where it makes sense. I think there'll be multiple, it'll intersperse itself in our platform, not only in a chatbot, but in other modalities as well.
Okay. Ronnie, we appreciate the time. You've been very gracious. I want to start to wrap up. Looking ahead, you've mentioned a couple of trends, lawyers moving from billing by hours to some more flat rate pricing based on the type of work product. We've talked a little bit about AI. What else are you excited about? What other trends do you see that you think are really relevant and you're excited to see Clio both support and maybe help push forward in some ways?
I mean, I think for Clio, we're really excited about a number of things. One is what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is this push on this multi-product journey. It's really how do we start to add more and more value to our customers, make their jobs easier so they can serve their customers, and ultimately provide more access to justice, which is our key mission that we feel really strongly about. And so every time we create efficiencies for them, we're helping them in that mission. We're also making a big push into a couple of adjacent markets that are really exciting for us. So we're moving up market to serve larger customers. And then our international business is really thriving. The needs that lawyers have in the US is very similar to what we see with lawyers all around the world. We have lawyers in about 130 countries who've just organically found our platform and are actively using it and getting a lot of great value. And we do have a nice growing international business, but we think that we're just getting started there. And there's a big opportunity for us to take a lot of the great Clio products and services and bring them to more markets in the future. So those are a couple of the things. And then I think lastly, this expansion from just the business of law into also the practice of law through the products and AI and the things we talked about is I think where a lot of vertical SaaS is going and very much where we think we'll be able to expand the ways that we work with our customers in really exciting ways in the future.
Okay. Lastly, Ronnie, you mentioned you're chatting with an investor. I'm sure you get asked by other startup founders all the time, especially in vertical SaaS space, what advice you have, what, even that a lot of the audience are folks who are probably, they would love to be in Clio's position, say a decade from now. What advice do you have for founders these days?
I think you have to build, and luckily I feel fortunate to have joined a company that did this from its roots, a truly customer obsessed company, more so than any other type of business. When you're in a horizontal market, you almost by definition can't go as deep with your customer base because you have to build for everything. So you're building about scale and efficiency and making a lot of trade-offs. But when you're building for vertical SaaS, ultimately you need to create a culture and a mindset that is truly obsessed with servicing the needs, because otherwise, why are they going to use you, right? If they just want the best XYZ tool in the world, there's probably a big horizontal solution that serves millions of customers that kind of does that. So you need to take the other approach to say, I need to understand and build for and optimize and really target my solution for the very specific needs. And so I need as a founder, I need to emulate that. I need to believe that. I need to create a culture and set of processes and a whole mindset and brand around that. And I think Clio has done that great in the legal sector. And I think other great vertical SaaS companies, that's what they do. So it's a different type of mindset and different type of culture that is necessary to really do well in vertical SaaS.
I appreciate that, Ronnie. I love how speaking with strong execs, one, bring it back to basics, in this case, customer obsession, but have a twist or an add-on in this case, hey, for vertical SaaS, that bar for customers' obsession is that much higher. Ronnie, thank you so much for taking the time, sharing your insights with us today. Before we wrap up, if any of the listeners have questions or want to connect with you after the show, what's the best route for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, thanks for your time too, Brian. I really enjoyed the conversation. If anybody wants to reach me, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Ronnie Gurion at Clio, and you can find me on LinkedIn. Just ping me if I can help in any way.
Fantastic. Ronnie, thank you again. It's been a joy chatting. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast. We'll make sure to link to any resources that were mentioned in today's show in the show notes. Please also feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast or to connect with the Gusto Embedded team via LinkedIn. In particular, we'd love to hear any future guests you'd like us to have on the show. Thanks again for listening, and keep a lookout for the next episode.